Welcome to the Pacific Basin Shipping Limited 2011 Annual Results Audio Conference Presentation on the 1st of March 2012. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If you would like to submit questions via the web at any point during the conference, simply type your question in the box provided and click the submit button. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Klaus Nyberg, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Good evening or good morning, depending on where you are, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for attending a Pacific Basin 2011 Annual Results Telephone Conference. I'm Klaus Nyberg, the CEO. With me today I have Andrew Broomhead, our CFO and Executive Director.
Hello.
As well as Emily Lau, Head of Investor Relations.
Hello.
We go straight to slide number two. And what we'll do today is actually only give you a few highlights. We wouldn't go through the whole presentation, but we'll take out certain slides which you find of importance. Slide two, group highlights. Pacific Basin made a net profit of $32 million and an operating cash flow of $159 million in 2011, equal to an EBITDA of $149 million, representing weaker, though respectable, results against the backdrop of significantly weaker market conditions. Our Handysize earnings outperformed, but we were impacted by the deteriorating spot market. PB Towage had a turnaround year, upholding the case for strategic diversification into the Australian tourist sector. PB Roro's unsatisfactory performance and a significant impairment we announced with the interim results reflected continued depression in the freight ferry market. That impairment was partially offset by a $56 million net profit from the sale of our remaining shares in Green Dragon Gas, which we announced in the first half of 2011. We still have $618 million in cash and deposits, which more than covers our commitments in respect of 16 owned vessels on order and leaves substantial buying power on our balance sheet. The board has recommended a final dividend of 5 Hong Kong cents per share, bringing the full year dividend to 10 cents per share. Slide 3, dry bulk 2011 performance. In 2011, our dry bulk division made a net profit of $81 million US, and operating cash flows of $138 million, driven by a relatively strong contribution from our Handysize business. Our Handysize daily rates decreased 19% year-on-year, but still outperformed the deteriorating spot market by 35%. Our Handymax results were disappointing, due mainly to our reliance on relatively expensive short-term charter ships and the cost of repositioning ships in response to the Queensland floods in early 2011. On a more positive note for our Handymax business, we are building a strong long-term forward book, and we have started the process of growing our core fleet of low-cost ships, which we expect will improve margins. On other developments, we expanded our office network to cover 6 continents, and we increased our activity in parceling and project cargo trades. Both initiatives broaden business opportunities for our dry bulk fleet and differentiate us from many of our traditional bulk-focused competitors. Our new maritime operating system is already proving its value as an appropriately advanced IT platform to support our continued future fleet growth. And we have achieved significant fuel savings through the in-house development and implementation of our right speed program to determine optimal operating speed based on prevailing freight rates and fuel prices. Slide 4, earnings cover. We operated an average of 131 dry bulk ships in 2011, up from 114. As of 27th of February, we had covered 54% of our 28,000 handy-sized revenue days in 2012 at $11,480 per day. We have also covered 25% of our 24,000 handy-sized revenue days in 2013 at $12,920 per day. Maintaining a certain degree of forward cover while adapting to market changes is an important part of our strategy, and we manage this very carefully. Outlook. Go to slide 9, please. We expect to see a continued heavy flow of new building deliveries combined with strong but hesitant dry bulk transportation demand to result in a weak first half, a more buoyant second half, and a weaker freight market overall this year than in 2011. Our market outlook for the longer term is positive. We believe generally strong demand for dry bulk commodities will prevail and provide a more favorably balanced by a less onerous new bidding order book from 2013 and onwards. Therefore, we remain committed to our strategy of directing new investment towards the further expansion of our dry bulk fleet at the right time and price, and we have the platform on which to grow organically through the acquisition of individual ships or fleets. Slide 10, PB Energy and Infrastructure Services. In 2011, this division generated a profit of $10.8 million and an operating cash flow of $29 million. This reflected a turnaround year for our towage business, which increased its market share, capitalized on improved top markets in Australia, and contributed a net profit of $15.2 million. These results more than offset the operating loss of our FPSL joint venture or operation, which was closed in June after completing projects due to the difficult market conditions in the Middle East. Since the year end, we have sold Pac Marine Services. In view of the closure of FPSL, the sale of Pac Marine, and the now exclusive focus on our towage activities, we have changed the name of PB Energy and Infrastructure Services Division to pure PB Towage. So outlook for PB Towage on slide 11. We anticipate seeing continued growth in the Australian offshore construction sector and further improvement in Australian port activity in 2012. We consider ourselves well-positioned to participate in this increasing activity, and we have started 2012 with a good earnings cover for the year. Strategically, we aim to enhance the organization of PB Towage in areas of human resource, health and safety, systems and processes. And we stand ready to invest further in our fleet as specific projects materialize. Slide 12, PB Roro. Our Roro division generated a loss of $10.6 million and an operating cash flow of $7.5 million positive in a very difficult year due to continued depression in the US-centric Roro market and suspension of the NAFTA Gulf Bridge. We achieved average daily charter rates of $21,190 a day on utilization of 84%. All six of our Roros are now delivered and on the water. Four ships are employed, although at generally disappointing rates reflecting the weak market. We're still working on charters for our final two ships, and our priority for 2012 is to secure satisfactory employment for these and other ships in our Roro fleet at the current charters, when the current charters expire. As reported with our interim results, a reassessment of prospects for the Roro sector resulted in an impairment of US$80 million to our group results, but no further impairment was warranted for the full year. Outlook, slide 13. We expect the charter market for Roro ships to remain weak and challenging throughout 2012 due to the further influx of new ships, overall muted growth, freight volumes, and due to the difficult and challenging European economy. We therefore expect another challenging loss-making year for our business, though our longer-term view is more positive as we anticipate an end to the current wave of new building deliveries in 2013, coupled with eventual European economic recovery and the development of new trades. Our priority for 2012 is to secure best possible charters, improve utilization, and implement stringent cost control to minimize losses until the market recovers, and we have no plans to invest further in the rural fleet. I'll now pass on to Andrew, our CFO, who will present the financial section. Thank you.
Thank you. So looking at slide 14, the group reported segment net profit of $78.9 million, which is a deterioration of 46% compared to last year in the face of a weaker market for dry bulk vessels. Underlying profit was $57.8 million, and overall results were affected by two items from the first half of 2011, being an $80 million impairment on our RoRo vessels partially offset by a $55.8 million gain from the sale of our remaining holding of the shares in Green Dragon Gas. This gave a resultant group net profit of $32 million. Turning to slide 20, cash flow. The group generated operating cash flows of $159 million, which exceeded the $150 million of EBITDA for the year. Coupled with existing cash and $80 million from the sale of our shares in Green Dragon Gas, this funded vessel payments of $175 million, which included three Handysize, one post-Panamax, two tugs, and two Roro vessels, all delivered during the year, and $105 million of convertible bond repurchases, leaving PB with a cash of $618 million at the year end.
Thank you, Andrew. Slide 21, outlook. As mentioned earlier, we expect to see a weaker dry bulk freight market overall this year than in 2011, and expecting a weaker first half and a stronger and more buoyant second half. Dry bulk shipping is no doubt in crisis. We are facing excess ship supply and much reduced availability of funding for vessel acquisitions, which should generate fleet expansion opportunities at attractive prices for cash-rich owners like ourselves. Our RoRo business faces continued market weakness, but the outlook for the towage market and our towage business is promising. Our strategic focus will therefore be to direct investments mainly toward expansion of our dry bulk fleet, patiently awaiting and capitalizing on opportunities we expect to arise, grow our dry bulk customers and cargo contract portfolio in tandem with our fleet expansion in order to manage our market exposure. Invest in our towage fleet as specific projects materialize in the increasingly active offshore projects market. Secure best possible chances and utilization for our RoRo fleet with no plans to invest further. Consider opportunities for further divestment of non-core businesses. Notwithstanding, and in part because of, the prevailing challenging market, we continue to be confident in our strategy, objectives, and business model. And then on a personal note, as it was announced earlier today, I'll be shortly leaving Pacific Basin on the 15th of March of this year. I'll do so with a mixture of great sadness and satisfaction, as I have thoroughly enjoyed my almost 6 years with the company, and I'll leave confident that Pacific Basin is well positioned to succeed despite ongoing market challenges. So thank you very much, and we are ready for questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. If you would like to submit questions via the web, simply type your question in the box provided and click the submit button. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. One moment for the first question. Okay, thank you. We have a question from Karthik Chelapa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I have three questions. Firstly, if I look at the rates that are being covered, at least for 2012, at least on the Handymax side, it looks still below our cost. So can we expect that Handymax in 2012 as well would be incurring losses? That's my first question. Secondly, if I look at both for the Handysize and the Handymax segment, the incremental rates are getting closer to our cost for owned fleet. So can we conclude that the incremental rates have reached some kind of a bottom, or do you think in your estimate it can probably even go down further? And my third question is a housekeeping question. In your statement of comprehensive income, there is a loss of around $60.5 million, and it reads as release of investment valuation reserve upon the disposal of available for sale assets. Could you give some more color on what that pertains to? Thanks.
Yeah, I think actually sort of incremental coverage. I think actually the incremental coverage that we have had recently is a combination of cargo contracts for the future as well as the spot market, our sort of immediate operation. And I think the point is actually for the future, what we are securing at the moment is definitely above the spot market. and also above our break-even levels for the fleet. And I think also normally we are able to, when we execute contracts, through the combination of cargoes and hopefully good operation, we normally tend to outperform the forward market as well, that we see are relatively generating returns on the execution of the contracts. We also quite often and have done that more sort of aggressively during 2011. We have been, you know, arbitraging by combining vessels that we charter in the market, combining that with cargoes that are available, are utilizing our huge network and good access to cargoes around the world. And that's one of the reasons why we established offices recently in other parts of the world. Turning to Handymax, as we have stated, 2011 was disappointing for us. I think we benefit from 2011 by a reduction in the cost of the fleet and therefore also hopefully a better position to eliminate and reduce losses in that segment.
So if I understood you correctly, in 2012 our rates are around 11,850. So at that prevailing rate, do we still expect to make profits in the Handymax segment?
I think you could say, I think we overall expect that we, I would not comment specifically on the rates, but I think actually overall, I think we are comfortable that this year would be better than last year, because we had some one-off incidents last year, among others, the flooding in Australia, that definitely affected our positioning, that we have to deviate our fleet from the area, and various other one-off factors that wasn't helpful to the bottom line. As you might see from in 2011, we improved our position significantly between the first half and into the second half, and I think that's probably a same direction you would see for 2012. I you see improvements for this year relative to 2011.
Okay, and my last question on the comprehensive income.
Yeah,
that's really an accounting adjustment in relation to the sale of the shares in Green Dragon Gas. Up until the period of the sale, the increase in the market value had been passed through reserves. So upon the sale, there is a reserve transfer. So it all relates to that sale of Green Dragon Gas.
Okay, great. Thank you very much and all the best for 2012.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. And to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. And to submit questions via the web, simply type your question in the box provided and click the submit button.
We have questions received from the net, so we are ready to answer those. All right, the first question is, dear management, will you drop the dry bulk shopping business because it's in crisis? I think, and the point is actually, yes, it is in the crisis, but we also realize from previous downturns in the market, that's really where we can make the difference, where we can hopefully go in, buy cheap assets at low break-even levels and make good returns to the benefit of shareholders. So I would say to the contrary, we are very confident about the future. We have, we see light in the end of the tunnel. We see good demand in the market. China is a strong driver with good growth. So in that context, it gives us confidence that we are, unfortunately, in the darkest hour of the market. Then the second question, what was the daily earning for our post-Panamax vessels for 2011? I don't think, well, we're not able to reveal or to publicize the earnings for these two vessels. That's confidential information as per the charter parties. But I can say that actually these charters have been secured back in time at rates substantially above the current and therefore profitable. And those two vessels are secured for 10 and 15 years. So actually, we have locked away our exposure to the market for the long-term future. You can see on slide 20 of the announcement the profits of the post-Panamax totaling for the year $3 million and higher in the second half than in the first half, reflecting delivery of both vessels. The third question is, it's split in three. The first one, how does the 25% contract cover for 2013 Handysize revenue days compare with previous cover percentage in previous years for 1 year ahead duration? To my recollection, the percentage is more or less the same as we have had in previous years for 1 year ahead. And you can say the rates is 12,920, which I think we can say safely is well above the break-even cost for our fleet, and also illustrate that actually we are still able to bring on coverage for the future, the long future, at healthy levels. The next question is, what are you waiting to see before the right opportunities at the right price materialize? Are you more keen on new buildings than second-hand vessels? It's very difficult to say. I think the way we play it, the way our strategy has always been, that we have not a defined price at which we want to go in. The point is actually that we, from time to time, need to calibrate our views about the future in terms of the supply side, how much have been ordered by our competitors, how much is being scrapped, how is the demand looking, how is the world economy looking, and therefore we don't have any fixed view on when we will enter the market. It's more a matter of combining all these factors. But readily assured, we are ready to invest significantly at the right time and price, as mentioned. And we have the balance sheet to support it. Divestment of non-core businesses, can you elaborate on these? It's a relatively smaller items on the balance sheet and have relatively insignificant impact to both balance sheet as well as bottom line. So in that context, we see no reason to reveal further information about these assets, but they are not within our core businesses. But having said that, I think also you can say we've been on that pattern for that path for a while. We have closed down the FPSL joint venture. We have sold Pac Marine recently, and we have disposed our Green Dragon gas shares in the first half of 2011. So we are on a path of disposing of these activities or these assets that we hold, but have no defined period when to do it. It's more a matter of price and other conditions being fulfilled. Go back. Any more questions from the audience?
Yes, thank you. We have a question from Jay Batt from Chelsea Securities. Please go ahead.
I just want to ask you quickly, does it make sense to commit $322 million in fully funded vessel capital commitments when, again, you've only got 54% cover, which means you've got spare capacity to go? And obviously, you know, you've already painted a pretty bad picture, so what's going to happen in bulk this year? Does it make sense to commit that $322 now? Isn't it better just to retain it for now and see how it goes rather than committing anything?
Well, that is committed based on the contracts we made in 2010 and into 2011. And it's fair to say that actually those contracts are still very valuable to us. These are done with ships, are very well-designed ships, at low consumption, set in very competitive vessels. So we have no hesitation in committing, and which we have done. It's a contract obligation. So it's not about any future sort of anticipated investment. It's actually a commitment that we stand by.
Thank you. Does that answer your questions?
And in essence, I think actually maybe I should just add that actually our business model will always entail that we don't have full coverage going forward. But we have no hesitation in making that sort of commitment, given that we can always find cargoes, and we believe in the future market, as earlier said. So in that context, we believe the vessels, when they deliver in 2013 into 2014, comes into a market which, under normal circumstances, should be provide a better balance than the current, and therefore better earnings.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Keith Wallace from South China Morning Post. Please go ahead.
Evening, gentlemen and Emily. I was wondering if you saw any light in the dry bulk's darkest hour, and I was also wondering if you were doing anything different in terms of either new markets or new regions in terms of trading in the dry bulk sector this year than you were last year. And given the results of towage and how that's turned around, maybe you should put Charlie in charge of the Ro-Ro business.
Yeah, we could hope that one-man bank could solve the Ro-Ro market. Thank you, Keith, for the question. I think actually, unfortunately, I think actually the dry bulk market have had a couple of dark hours, and not only one. But I think actually, do we see signs? I think you can say last year the overall dry bulk market was still growing at a 10% level, which is higher compared to most other shipping markets. I think the container market is probably growing by 5 to 6, and the tanker market is not growing at all. So in that context, we're sitting with, in our view, probably the most interesting main segment in dry bulk, because we have the strong driver in terms of China and Asia overall. Of course, the growth has maybe not been as high, and we've seen some slowdown in China. I think there's been a recent signals in terms of the credit regulations in China have been seen to be softening a bit by the government. So that might be a sign of for the future that the credit is more readily available in China and therefore benefiting construction, etc. But that's probably too early to speculate. But it is a good sign. But also, if you look to a lot of the smaller commodities, you can see in slide 6 in our presentation that actually a lot of the products that we are carrying are growing very, very fast. Forestry products, as an example, which we are main sort of shipper up or shipping company providing, 37%, bauxite up 49%, nickel 92%, et cetera, so very heavy growth on smaller commodities. When it comes to new offices, I think we have benefited. We opened Stamford last year in Connecticut in the U.S. To get a better handle about the Atlantic market, and I think that we saw the benefit very early. And the same we could say about Durban in South Africa. And that's a reflection of South Africa and Africa overall becoming a more and more important market. And more cargoes are coming out of South Africa and Southern Africa overall. And no doubt we want to play a role in that market.
Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Jeff Chan from BNP. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have a couple of questions. One is plug in the number you give according to your projections in 2012, I still see around 3 to 4% net capacity. Even we say like the demand is growing like 9.6%, despite that it may be slower. So my question is, why would you think the rate would recover in the second half? Or the market would recover the second half, and this is one. And two is we saw that some container ship companies they have idle capacity as well, but they managed to to have more collaborated actions, so that we see the rate is rebounding now. What happened to dry bulk that we will not see this at the moment if we can? And the third question is that you have $300 million commitment in the next 2 years, and current cash is $600 something. if the rate would be kept at this level for the 2012, what would be the cash projection at the end of the year? Thank you.
Thank you. We're not able to comment on the cash position by the end of this year, but you're right that actually we have at the moment a cash position of $618 million and a net debt of $160 million. But we're not able to forecast on the cash levels, given that actually that's we're not able to forecast earnings for the company. When in addition, we have facilities of $117 million available. When it comes to container shipping, I think actually the mechanics of the container shipping market is different from ours. Our market is much more fragmented, and there. But having said that, so you don't have the same sort of where participants take some capacity. It works in a slightly different way. You could say when the market gets below the operating level, some owners will start to take out capacity. In our case, with a good coverage and a COA portfolio, we will normally continue even under those circumstances, given the value of the cargo book and, for that matter, the relationship with the customers. And I would say even if in the previous darkest hours, like in the very end of 2008 into 2009, there were still cargoes available in the market, at least for a new modern fleet and with our customer and cargo access. So it has never really been an issue for us, and therefore we tend to continue operation. A factor in the dry bulk market, like in other markets, has been slow steaming, and that has definitely also had an effect that the ships are simply just moving at a lower speed, and therefore indirectly you take out capacity from the market. Your first question was the split between the first and the second half, and I think our view has been that you can see that the deliveries between the first half and the second half starts trailing off in the second half. That's one observation. Less supply pressure. Demand also, because you can say at the moment the stocks are relatively high on certain commodities in China, and we believe that actually through the season that the fourth quarter is normally a stronger market, and therefore overall we should see a better balance by demand and supply in the second half of this year. All right.
Okay, thank you.
I think we have some questions from we have a question that says, expect the daily earnings for post-Panamax in 2012 and 13. Well, first of all, we can't reveal the earnings for the next years, but we can say it's done on the same level as 2011, so a good observation would be that we'll have the same profits as we had in 2011, second half, for the future years, 12 and 13. What kind of non-assets are we planning to divest? I think we've answered that question. How much CapEx do we intend to spend in PB towage? I think actually we'll go by the opportunity. We say that actually we will commit investments in the towage sector based on which or the projects that materialize. I think we've got to a scale now where and we've got a well-established name in the market, so now we can actually invest based on the projects that will be awarded to us. And the pipeline of potential projects and projects where we are tendering are long and deep, but of course haven't been awarded all of it. But we have been successful in broadening up the contract portfolio during 2011 and are now performing QCLNG, one of the largest development projects in Australia, alongside Borgen and the various other contracts at hand, and doing that quite successfully. What is the return expected for PB Tours this year? Additional comment, still around 20% as in 2011. you can say, I think we can say that second half 2011 is probably a good guidance because we have good coverage of our earnings in 2012, but also very high utilization at confirmed rates. So in that context, the upside to the current levels are not high, nor the downside. Next question. You're planning to buy ships at attractive prices. How much money will you budget for buying new vessels this year? I think it comes in line with the previous comment that we do not have any firm plans. We are just watching the market very, very carefully and evaluating our assumptions from time to time very carefully in order to decide whether to invest or not. As we said previously to analysts attending our conference earlier today at the announcement of our results, I think we said also that there might be further pressure on second-hand values at the moment because many owners or banks are pressing for disposal of vessels. Next question, that is actually regarding myself. Why did you choose to resign at this moment? Do you have a conflict with the management, or the board for that matter? Does the board select a successor for your position? Very quickly, I choose to resign because my family and I choose to relocate to Denmark because of family reasons. My oldest son is a teenager, so it's about time for him to go back into Danish schooling. So that was the reason. So I have absolutely no conflict with the management or with my colleagues nor my board. I can safely say that I have had a fantastic time in Hong Kong. I'll miss it every day. But on the other hand, I'm also very confident that actually the company has a bright future going forward, given the quality of the organization and, for that matter, the quality of the board. And the successor, as mentioned in the earlier announcement today, the board expects that they will be able to announce the successor by the end of this month. Next question. Any further write-down on the value of the RoRos this year? We don't expect so. Based on the current assumptions we are making, there is not a indication of a further write-down. What are your expectations for fuel prices this year? We must admit we're not very good in predicting fuel prices, nor do we do it. The business model we have is that we hedge our positions in the market, and therefore we don't have any immediate subject to this hedging, don't have any immediate exposure to the fuel prices on most of the contracts that we hold. That was the last question we have here on the screen. Any more questions from others?
Yes, thank you. We have a question from Maxence Venot from Tantalum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Klaus. Thank you very much for this call. I have a few questions. The first one is on the RoRo. Why don't you write off completely this asset, considering the cost of operating it? And I just mean not just the dollars, but also the amount of time and people you have to spend on this. The second question is on your guidance for 2012. Unfortunately, I joined a bit late. The call had technical problem with the webcast. So you were saying, can you confirm that you were saying that basically the full year would look more like the second half of 2011? And the third question would be, when you look at the commodities that you're carrying, where do you think is the upside and where do you think is the downside? And finally, if you could just remind your dividend policy going forward.
Yeah. We'll take the last one. The dividend policy is unchanged.
Okay.
So it's still a matter of offering 50% payout of net profit less disposable gains. We have been generous during 2011, that actually the Green Dragon Gas was an extraordinary gain and profit, and we have included that in our sort of pot for distribution in our own internal thinking. You can say that actually, we are paying out 78% of earnings for 2011, but it's definitely also reflecting the strong balance sheet, the cash at hand, and the confidence in the future. Regarding your previous question about the second half, that was not a question, that was not a comment in relation to the group, that was a comment in relation to the towage division.
Would you give any, and would you have any view on, I mean, you must have a view on how the market, you said, is going to recover in the second half. Do you think 2011 was the worst, or do you think 2012 could be worse than this?
No, I think actually what we have said, that actually we believe in a weaker dry bulk market in 2012 relative to 2011. We've had a weak start, or the market has had a weak start in 2012, so we're coming from a very low level. The market is stronger now, definitely after Chinese New Year. There's a lot of cargoes being circulated. We see that so the signs are right, but we're coming from a low level. We see, so most likely the second quarter could be better than the first half, and the second half overall to be stronger than the first half as a reflection of a trade-off in new building deliveries to the market, and most likely also getting to the stage where the stocks in China are lower and therefore need to be rebuilt.
And just going back, so you said, okay, we started on the weaker. Since Chinese New Year, it has increased, it has done better.
Yes.
You said the second quarter could be stronger than the first half of last year, or second quarter could be stronger than the first quarter?
First quarter of this year. As
okay.
A normal seasonal
okay.
development.
How are we compared to last year? I mean, now, how are we compared to last year?
We had a weaker rates, lower rates than last year.
At the beginning, but
because you had a significant boom after Chinese New Year last year, and you don't have that sort of drive in the market, that you don't have that in the market this year. We can say the current Cape size rates is as low as hand size rates. So in that context, we're starting from a very, very low level.
So far, even now, we're still lower than last year.
Correct. Much
okay.
lower.
We are.
And that's why we're saying that overall the 2012 is expected to be weaker
okay.
than 11 in terms of dry bulk rates.
Okay. And what do you think are the commodities that will push the upside or downside your...
I don't think we have any specific comments to which commodities. I'll just say that actually, because actually you can see because of the donut eye, the number of different cargoes we carry, it's widely spread and therefore diversified our exposure to any particular cargo type.
The Ro-Ro, why are you not just writing off assets? I mean, I know I've asked questions before, but...
I think, first of all, I think actually your question, so should, I think actually your suggestion would only be taken by a desperate management. I don't think that we have any reason. We have to accept the criticism that comes with the position, but having said that, we generated positive EBITDA, or operating cash flow last year for the Ro-Ro fleet. We can see that once you get into 2013, the order book has fully delivered to the market. You have a very high scrapping potential of old vessels in the market. So all this should most likely mean that we are not that far from turning the corner. I think we were unfortunately hit by the weak or by the substantial contraction in the European economies, and therefore trailer volumes that are reduced after 2008 and haven't recovered in full since. And therefore, the demand side has been relatively weak, although improving. And in that context, that these have been the factors, but I don't think that there's any reason to write off the investment whatsoever.
and why? What is the how many percent of the cost have you written off already on the Ro-Ro fleet in the beginning, accumulated?
The current book value is 370, and we have written off 105.
300, and then you've written off 105.
On top of the 370. So the book value is 370 at the moment.
The book value, okay, and you've written off 100. Okay, so it's 105 compared to 475.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have no more audio questions at this time.
Thank you. We have one question here that's about the spot TC rates for the short-term charters. I'm not able to reveal the exact rate. That's confidential, but I can say that the market in general for Ro-Ro tonnage is somewhere between 10 and 11,000 euros a day.
Okay, we have a follow-up question. Are you okay to take a follow-up question? Okay, we have a follow-up. Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Maxim Vinot. Please go ahead.
I don't know, Klaus, if you've given already the market value of your fleet. And if they haven't, is that possible?
No, we haven't. We don't give it.
You don't give it. Okay. Okay. Very much.
Okay, we have no more audio questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much for listening in. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. This concludes the conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.